أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد. صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa azamallah ujurana wa ujurakum bi musabina bil Husayn wa aulad al Husayn wa ashab al Husayn. May the Almighty God accept our mourning, our aza, and this majalis that we are inshallah holding by His grace in memory of Abu Abdullah al Husayn. May the Almighty God bless us also to learn from the school of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, to on the one hand elevate our spirituality, and on the other hand inshallah elevate our knowledge and be more educated about the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and our dear Islam. Exceptionally tonight and tomorrow night, because tonight is Laylatul Jum'ah, Thursday evening, a very holy night, and is the time that normally throughout the year inshallah we have a good practice of Dua Kumail. And tomorrow night, because of the Friday that belongs to Imam Al-Hujjah Jalallahu Farajahu Sharif, so tonight and tomorrow, sort of I postponed the discussion that we've been talking about in the previous nights to the Saturday evening. Although, as you will inshallah appreciate, it is related to the topic, the direct continuation of the discussion that we had until last night, will continue it from Saturday. In finding a response for our answer for why is it that I'm a Shia and I'm a follower of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, what was my reason to choose the path of Ahlul Bayt to get to true Islam over other avenues possibly available, what I want to share with you tonight is one of the living miracles of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Let me explain that. And it's related to the concept of supplication and dua that we have in tonight recommended to do it. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, he was one of the Muslim genius scholars, mathematician, an astronomer, a philosopher, a theologian, very learned scholar really. Like about almost 700 years ago he was living. And when he talks in his book Kashful Murad, that is the explanation of something that Allamat al-Hilli, that I had spoken about him before to you, when he comes to the issue of the miracles of the prophets or awliyaullah that we refer to as karamat, he says that there are two types of miracles. One is al-mu'jiza al-fi'liya, miracles that are by the action of the prophet or the action of the successor of the prophet, that you see that they do something in this world that others can never do that, never. Like Prophet Moses, by the leave and the permission of God, he stick his, he touches the water, the Nile River, with his stick, and it divides into two parts, dry like a path, a passage that easily the Israelites can go through. This is definitely a miracle. Until the day of judgment, never any human will be able to do this. Prophet Jesus, Allah Nabiyyana wa alayhi wa alayhi salam, also had the miracle of bringing dead back to life. By the leave of God, by the permission of God, I bring dead back to life. And he had done it. Not only he claimed it, he practiced it as well. In front of people around him. Therefore, they believed in him. That is not an ordinary person. Until the day of judgment, not only at the time of Jesus, science had no idea about this. Until the day of judgment, man will not be able to repeat that in a scientific way. Science has no ability to do any of the miracles. That's why we refer to them as miracles. Mu'ajizah means something that others are ajizin, that are unable to do it. These and many, like the Prophet of Islam, at least more than 1,000-2,000 miracles from the Prophet of Islam is recorded. He was grabbing a handful of the pebbles, and in his hand, the pebbles were glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That people around him, they could hear the pebbles glorifying God. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah. This is a miracle, all right? All the things around us are glorifying Allah. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ As Quran says that you don't understand, you cannot hear their glorification. What the Prophet did, he enabled people around him to hear the glorification of the pebbles. Someone, if the Prophet is ma'asum, is around, can enable us to hear the glorification of the trees around us, for example, the walls around us. All right? إِنْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ Anyway, these and many such examples are referred to as miracles by practice. Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi, he says there's a second type of miracle that is called al-mu'jiza al-qawliya, verbal miracles, miracles of speech. Then he said, ordinary people, laymen, common people, they are more impressed and captured by miracle by practice. When they see that he brought the dead back to life, he healed the born blind, and so forth. So, wow, this person must not be an ordinary person. He's a miracle. He's a prophet. They believe him. But he says intellectual people, they will be more impressed when they see the miracle of the speech. Al-mu'jiza qawliya. The second difference is that mu'jiza fi'liya, miracle by practice, is timely limited. Like the miracle of Prophet Isa was only for the time of Prophet Isa, for people who were around him even. The miracle of the Prophet of Islam, like the pebbles that I mentioned, how do we know that it's true that Jesus brought dead back to life? We see it with the light of the nur of iman that we have. We believe in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Quran, we believe it, even though we're not there to see it. And all the miracles mentioned about the previous prophets, about the imams and so forth. All right. Whereas the miracles of speech is still available. There is no, if anyone wants to cast doubt about the validity or authenticity of whether the prophet had that miracle or not, no one can cast doubt about the speech miracle that is still available to us. The best example of a speech miracle is the Holy Quran. And that's why we say Quran is a living miracle of the Prophet of Islam. The Prophet had so many miracles, but his living, ever-living miracle is the Holy Quran. Because, and that's why Quran, at least in three occasions, three different places, calls for a challenge. It says, if you think that you can produce something like this, come on. The challenge is always available on the Day of Judgment. So the eloquence of the Quran, the style of the Quran, the contents of the Quran, the wording of the Quran, all of it is the miracle of the speech that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled the Prophet to share it with us. And because Quran is not changed, is not altered until the Day of Judgment, this miracle remains a living miracle. All right? This introduction, sort of the tour I mentioned to you to get to my point. Now, when it comes to proving why is it that I decided to follow the path of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the pure progeny of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the living miracles of the Imams of Ahlul Bayt is the words of the Imams. In so much as if somebody asks you that, why are you a Muslim? You say, or for people at the time of the Prophet, why did you embrace Islam? They said that we saw the miracle of the Prophet and we believed him. We believed in him. All right? The same for us, because all the reasons among which is the miracles of the Prophet of Islam, we believe that he's a messenger and the last messenger. Why do you believe in the imamate of Imam Ali directly after the Prophet, the imamate of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, the imamate of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and all the imams of Ahlul Bayt? I say because of the living miracles. And I share with you some examples of that. Our imams, sometimes they were talking to ordinary people, like someone is selling cucumber, comes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and is having a jurisprudential question. The Imam answers him according to his intellect. They say that we are bound to speak to people according to the level of their understanding, so that they can understand where we are coming from, how what we are telling them. Sometimes someone comes more intelligent, more intellectual. The imams, you see that the level of the answer that the imam is giving is different. We have different levels of the riwayat when it comes to words of Ma'sumin alayhi salam. Even in answering jurisprudential questions, still we see miracles that the science of their time definitely had no idea about it. Centuries had passed until recently. A research was done in a university in the United States, and they discovered what Imam Sadiq had said it almost 1300 years ago. What was it? The Imam was asked that when the mother is breastfeeding her baby, does it matter whether she's holding the baby on the left arm or the right arm? The Imam says that it is mustahab to hold your baby while you're breastfeeding the baby, whether with the left or right breast, is recommended to hold the baby on the left arm. They go to Abu Hanifa and they said, we've heard this from Ja'far ibn Muhammad. He said, no, that's nonsense. What's the difference? Whether holding on the left or right arm, as long as the mom is breastfeeding the baby. But we have this from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Just recently, the science has proven that because the heart is more on the left side, when the mom is holding the baby on her left arm, the baby, while being breastfed and is suckling the milk, is hearing the pulsing of the heart of the mother. And because during the pregnancy period, he or she used to hear that sound, that sort of the melody of the heart of the mother, the baby feels more comfortable and enjoys, you know, the time of, you know, lunch, dinner, whatever, the time of his or her food better. Okay? So it creates a calmer environment for the baby. Subhanallah. Who would know? So even when talking about the ordinary words of Ma'asumin, there is a miracle in it. But let alone when they are talking some, you know, special lectures that are giving. Nahj al-Balagha is called Nahj al-Balagha, the path of eloquence, definitely because of the eloquence of the sermons of Imam Ali alayhi salam. There is a sermon in Nahj al-Balagha. I was actually reading it today for some reasons, for another lecture I had somewhere else. Sermon number 221. If you like to refer to it, towards the end of the sermons of Nahj al-Balagha. One of the Sunni interpreters of Nahj al-Balagha, with the name of Ibn Abi al-Hadid, he takes an oath in the majesty name of the Almighty God, and he says that, I swear that I've been reading this sermon for the last 50 years of my life, and I can tell you that at least I've read this sermon over 1,000 times, and every time I read it, I feel I have a goosebump. It really touches me, this sermon of Amirul Mu'minin Imam Ali alayhi salam. Once Imam Ali alayhi salam went up on a stage, somebody said, Ya Ali, today you have a special request. Yes, Bismillah. Can you give us a sermon that you don't use any letter, Arabic alphabet, that there is dot in it? Can you imagine somebody tells you, give a talk in Danish? Which one of you knows, you know, is more Danish than others? Go and give a lecture or write a thesis, but I take half of the Danish alphabet away from you. Let me see what you can do. Half of the alphabets will be taken, because half of the Arabic alphabet has got dots,
like ba has got dot, ta has got dot, and so forth. He said, don't use any word that has any letter in it that has dots. Definitely this is a miracle. No ordinary human can do this. The sermon is available. Google search it, you will find it. Spontaneously, without any preparation, the imam didn't say, all right, I'm going to get back to you tomorrow. On a spot, the imam starts giving the lecture, and the lecture is there. Isn't this a miracle? This is what my imam has produced. Tell me what your imam, I'm not talking about to you. Tell me what your imam has produced. With all respect, show me something close to this from Abu Bakr, from Umar, from Uthman, from Muawiyah. This is the product. As an intelligent person, naturally, if there are two people claim to be lecturers, you want to choose your supervisor. Don't you go to a supervisor who is more learned? Definitely. How can you compare Amir al-Mu'mineen, the knowledge of Amir al-Mu'mineen, who is the gate of the prophetic knowledge, with the rest of the companions of the prophet? All right. Imam alayhi salam, and it's still available. That's what I told you, it's a living miracle. I'm not talking about the history to so that somebody says that, Sheikh, give me the sanad for this. It's just a historical issue. How do I know if it's true or not? It's available. It's there. Sermon 191 of Nahj al-Balagha. The imam goes up on a stage and he was asked somebody with the name of Hammam. He says, Ya Ali, Safli al-Muttaqeen, describe to me the pious people. And the imam starts talking about the pious people spontaneously again, yani without any preparation. More than 100, I've counted, more than 100 characteristics of the pious people is mentioned in that sermon of Imam alayhi salam. Subhanallah, it's just amazing. And Imam is not finished yet, and Hammam, as he's looking, in English say his jaw dropped. My God, as he is listening, and the imam keeps going, talking about, read it. It's just amazing. Really, this is a living miracle of our imams. Towards the end of the sermon of Imam Ali, more than 100 is mentioned. God knows if the guy could stand it, the imam would continue. He died. He was so much touched by the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. In front of him, as the imam is giving the sermon, the guy passed away. Finished. And the imam says, that's how the word that is coming from the heart gets to the heart and influences people. These are the miracles of a speech of the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Brothers and sisters, and I, inshallah, do not have so much to say on this issue. Unfortunately, time is very limited. Really, we are short of time. What can we do? But I share with you some examples. The sermons of the imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam does this. Now, I want to take you one step further up. Iqra waraqa. There's more into it. With salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. More than that, if you want to know who the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam really are, is when you read their dua and their supplications. There's a book compiled as known as Sahifa al-Alawiyyah. More than 150 supplications from Imam Ali alayhi salam is compiled in that book. One of them is Dua Kumail, all right? One of them is Munajat Sha'baniyah. More than 150 dua from Imam Ali alayhi salam only. And Imam Ali was rajulun da'a. He was praying to God a lot. Now, I have read Dua Kumail in a church. Not in a church, actually, in a Catholic academy. For those who were studying to become priests, I've read Dua Kumail for them, talking about supplication, talking about the spirituality of Islam. And then one topic was about supplication in Islam. And during that that lecture, I read some passages from Dua Kumail, and I had it in English, of course. And I distributed the booklet of Dua Kumail to those people. You won't believe how much they were touched. And one of the ladies, she was so interested, she said, I'd like to come to your center and listen to it. I said, every Thursday evening we are reading it. But we are reading it in Arab. You can read it in English. How you relate to it. And they said that we would like to say this as well. It's just, the wording is amazing. And I said to her, still, it's just a translation. I wish you could understand the actual text of it. So many years ago that I was in Hajj, and last year that experience was exactly repeated. I mentioned the one that is closer. Last year, that alhamdulillah, I was blessed to go to Hajj. When we were in Mecca al-Mukarramah, in Masjid al-Haram. I always like this to at night time to spend the night in the Haram, second, third floor, facing the Kaaba al-Mu'azzama and reading dua. One of my very favorite dua is dua Abu Hamzat al-Thumali. One of my very favorite dua is dua Jawshan al-Kabir in Masjid al-Haram. With some of the brothers who were with us, we're sitting reading dua Abu Hamzat al-Thumali after midnight in Masjid al-Haram. As soon as we finish the dua, you know, it's a long dua. Quickly reading it, you are talking about at least 1 hour. Two of the brothers came to me and they said that, Sheikh, there are two guys from Yemen sitting behind. They were passing by as you started. They looked, they listened, and then they sat down. It's just somebody, they were frozen. They could not move anymore. And they said they want to talk to you. Assalamu alaikum, brothers. I started the talk with them. Long story short, they said that, what is this that you are reading? We speak Arabic. We understand Arabic. We passed by and we heard it. And said, is this Quran? Because of the eloquence. No, it's not Quran. This is supplication. Where is this coming from? From which book of hadith? Is it in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslims? Where is he getting this from? And the more we listen to it, the magnet of this dua took us so much that we said we have to listen to all of it. And we sat down. More than 1 hour. This, I spoke to them about Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. I said he's the fourth Imam of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, the grandson of the Prophet, and things like that. And they said that, can you give it to us? I said, yes, of course, it's available on the net. Alhamdulillah, today you can easily access it. And they said that, do you read it every night? I said, every night we are here with the brothers and we read it, inshallah. The following, they said, we are coming next tomorrow night as well. And they did. They turned up next night as well. And then the next night we have decided, brothers suggested to read Dua Jawshan al-Kabir. Instead of Abu Hamza, we said, all right, tonight we read Jawshan al-Kabir. We started Jawshan al-Kabir. Jawshan al-Kabir is also wrong. 1,000. Please think about it. If somebody gives you the microphone, or brothers or sisters, somebody gives you an assignment, go home tonight and spend as much as time you want on your own and read and say a dua for me. See how many sentences what can I say? Few needs, personal needs, and that's the end of it. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam spontaneously, and the beauty of it is that the Imams did not go do their research, write this, and then come and read it. Spontaneously, he is reading Dua Jawshan al-Kabir. Of course, the Imam, I tell you that the way that it works, inshallah, remind me to tell you how the Imams have said and created these supplications. 1,000 divine, beautiful names of God in 100 lots of, you know, passages. Isn't this a miracle on its own? And it's available. It's a living miracle. Give it to them and tell them, this is what my leader, my teacher has produced. Show me your production. And you know, these guys, after we had finished, I saw them again around. They said, wow, what's going on here? What you had last night and tonight you brought something else. I said, we have books of dua, Mafatih al-Jannah, full of such atiyah. And still, this is a small portion of what the Imams have produced. He said, I'd like to know more about the Shia. As we're sitting there, both of them, they said that we are very interested. We want to become a Shia from tonight. We want to become a Shia. I said, say, Ashhadu anna aliyan waliyullah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Now I'm going to be in trouble next time I go to Hajj, because you're going to put this on YouTube and the Saudi police are going to chase us. You know, because they're very much concerned about us talking to others. Anyway, who cares? In fact, they took the details. They said they want to come to Qom and study further about the Shia Islam and things that, alhamdulillah. The reason that I'm giving you these examples to see that we don't need much of debate about historical issues. Give them one of, this is a living product of our Imams. Show us. And they all say it, they all confess. I have a friend of mine, he's a sheikh now. Very, very nice, very pious person. I respect him. He used to be a Sunni sheikh. Converted to Shia, alhamdulillah, some years ago. You know, he says that the reason that I became a Shia, my main motivation was listening to Dua Kumail. This Dua Kumail, because as a sheikh, I said to myself that we don't have this material in our books from our Imams. So there must be a truth here. And I started making more investigation. Alhamdulillah, he's a very good pious Shia scholar. This is the power. This is the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam that we are talking about. Talking about their supplications and the dua. That's what I say, that really this treasury that you have, like dua comment, read it, enjoy it. Relate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we are reading Dua Kumail or any of the du'as of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you are killing two birds with one stone. On the one hand, you are communicating with God and you make the communication a dialogue rather than a monologue. Monologue means one-way communication, that God is talking to us, we are only listening when you are listening to the Quran. With dua is a two-way communication. And we all know that two-way communication is always a stronger communication. When you talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that you have the blessing to talk and communicate with God by itself, there's a lot of virtue in it. Let alone that I'm talking to God from the holy lips of Amirul Mu'mineen, from the holy lips of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. And I'm sure that what I'm talking to God about is all correct. All respectful. I'm not being disrespecting God. I'm not making any mistake. I have a pattern with me to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is indirect tawassul as well, that inshallah we'll talk about it. Intercessing Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, because you're using their words to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. My time is almost over, but let me just spend the remaining time, few words just about the significance of this supplication to encourage you, inshallah, tonight, if it was possible, when you go home, spend some time and make it part of your day-to-day life, brothers, sisters. See, the age of almost all of you, either you are not married yet, you are on the verge and the edge of marriage, or you're just married. I can see by the look of looking at you guys. And I can tell that those who are not married, they wish inshallah to get married, inshallah, as healthy people. What I mean is that you are at a very important stage of your life, very vital stage of your life. The most vital stages of our life, that I refer to them as the turning points in our life, are three or four stages. Let's count, see how many. First is the time of birth. So many die at the time of birth. You and I were blessed to be born healthy and come to this world. We passed that turning point. The second turning point, critical as a stage of our life, is the time of when we are teenagers. I tell you, inshallah, one night I'll speak about this. As a teenager, if you successfully pass your teenaging, especially from 16 to 21, successfully you pass that, you don't sleep, you don't sin, you don't commit haram, mortal sins, after 21 or so, normally from that age onward, inshallah, you'll continue your track on the right path. So mind yourselves from the age of 15, 16 to 20, 21. Give it or take, depending on some individuals. That's a very critical stage of our lives. I always remind parents that at that time, be very watchful and be around your children. They need you. It's a very critical stage of their life. This is the second turning point. I mentioned the last one, then I'll come to the third one. The last one is the time of death, obviously. How do I die? فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure you don't die, but as a Muslim. Now, the first is not in my control, obviously. Which one was the first? Birth. The second, teenaging, sort of in my control, but I was still too young, and excuse me that I mentioned the term, stupid mistakes of teenaging, all right? I wasn't mature enough. Mistakes that I did, silly things happen. Death also may not be much in my hand. But the time of marriage, the third one is marriage. The turning point is the time of marriage, that when it comes to a spouse selection, the one that I choose as my companion, as my partner for the rest of my life, that is also a very, very critical stage of my life. Make it or break it. If I choose the right spouse, I will be prosperous for the rest of my life. If I choose the wrong one, and the wrong one comes across my life, then I will be miserable for the rest of my life. I always tell the girls especially who are more vulnerable when it comes to marriage that not to be married is not good, but not to be married compared with marrying the wrong guy is definitely by far better. You will be by far, guys also as well, brothers also as well, you will be by far better off remaining single than marrying a wrong person. You don't believe me? Ask people who are going through the turmoil of divorce and see how much they suffer. Sometimes they go through a turmoil that they never psychologically be recovered for the rest of their life. So you can appreciate that how important, how significant, how vital is that stage of your life, the age of marriage. What did I say all of these? The reason that I said all of the above is that after doing all your homework for a spouse selection to make sure that you don't meet up, you don't see each other. Of course, those who have found each other in a pub, what are you expecting them to be? And what type of life are you expecting from that? All right. Those who on the Facebook secretly behind the parents' back, they found each other, they made all the arrangements, and parents were the last to get to know about it. What else are you expecting from that type of relation? All right. So it's very important to start in a decent, pious way. But after you have done all your homework, what is very important really plays a big role in your life, and you can do it from tonight. Don't wait until a proposal and a suitor comes to your house. From now, before you are married, make sure that constantly you pray to God. You keep talking and communicate with God. Don't be shy. You may be shy with me, with your dad, with your mom talking about marriage, but with God, no need to be shy. That's the reality of life. That's your destiny. That's your future. All right? So open up to God. And the best position is the position of sajdah, that you are in the closest position to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the middle of the night, everybody is asleep. Nobody knows about you. In your bedroom, make your wudu and subhanallah, rahmatullah alayh. One of my very, very eminent spiritual teachers, rahmatullah alayh, a'lallahu maqamah, he was saying that if you have been blessed to do it 15 minutes before adhan al-fajr, before morning time, that is the real time of Sahar, the dawn time. If you can spend some time, and come on, 15 minutes to spend for your destiny. Are we asking for too much? If you don't spend it now, 10 years down the track, you're going to spend it to reverse it. When, God forbid, you have married to a wrong person and you cannot reverse it. You will be stuck. So before you get stuck, both brothers and sisters, this is the power of supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved for you the best compatible guy or girl suitable to you only if you ask. Only if you ask. If you go for the face values and you are only after the look, after the wealth, after such things, you also be given what you want. But if you ask, and I tell you that the best way to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what the Prophet has taught us to ask. Ya Allah, I want to marry a guy or a girl that has at least these two characteristics as fundamental ones, deen and akhlaq. Really, he is religious, God-fearing, the one who does not prostrate before God, the one who is not being humble to God as if he's going to be humble to his wife. And the same way goes for the girl as well. And also his mannerism or her mannerism, akhlaq, matters also a lot. The beauty comes and goes. The beauty, you get used to it. All right? These two, make sure you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, my nasib, I want it to be like this. And because you are supposed to be compatible, I try my very best to be religious. Obviously, a religious girl is not going to accept the proposal from a guy who is not religious. There has to be compatibility. So if you really want a religious guy, you have to be religious yourself. If you want a religious girl, you have to be religious yourself. And likewise, the same applies for akhlaq as well. Is it clear? So the key that, inshallah, I shared with you tonight about the supplication, and alhamdulillah, you have the golden opportunity of the month of Muharram and Majalis Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. Anytime that any majlis is read, relate to that shaheed and ask them as intercessor between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant. Believe me, in one of the nights, inshallah, it will be written, it will be granted. Throughout the year, if it's a time for your marriage, throughout the year, inshallah, it will happen. and good miracle in your life will happen. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله صلى الله عليك يا ابن رسول الله إن تنكروني فأنا ابن جعفر إن تنكروني فأنا ابن جعفر شهيد حق. Tonight is traditionally dedicated to the children, the two sons of Sayyid Zainab Salamullah Alayha. The tragedy of tonight is very heartbreaking, really. Not just because two young men before the age of marriage sacrificed their lives for the sake of Islam along with Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, but because the way that especially their mother presented her gifts. Let me introduce these two young boys. None of them were married. One, his name is Aoun. Another one, his name is Muhammad. Their father, his name is Abdullah ibn Ja'far. Their grandfather, Ja'far al-Tayyar, who is known as Tayyar, like the one who flies. Why did they call Ja'far Tayyar? Ja'far was the brother of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Was among the very first few people who embraces Islam. But because during a war known as the Battle of Mu'tah, he was the commander of the army of Islam, and eventually he was killed, martyred, and his arms were severed. The Prophet says that instead of the two arms that he lost in the cause of Allah, in paradise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him wings that he can fly wherever he wants in paradise. Whether metaphorically what it is, inshallah when we go there we'll find out. Perhaps one of the meanings of it is that the status of this shaheed is so high that he has the permission to go in all levels of paradise, because not all people of paradise can access all levels of paradise. His son, his name is Abdullah ibn Ja'far, and now tonight we are talking about the grandson of that shaheed, Ja'far al-Tayyar, Aoun and Muhammad. Abdullah married to Zainab, the daughter of Imam alayhi salam. So Abdullah, you can tell that Abdullah and Sayyid Zainab, they were first cousins marrying to each other. The result of that marriage were these two young boys. The father, Abdullah, apparently he had impaired vision, could not see, and therefore stayed in Medina, did not join the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Yet he insisted that his sons go with their mother, with their uncle Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and also mentioned to his sons that, sons, any time that your uncle, your khal, Imam Hussein alayhi salam, needs your help, you have to be always there for him. I wish I could come with you as well. Alright? And the journey began. On the day of Ashura, when Sayyid Zainab salamullah alayha, she heard the painful cry. Imagine the scene in the middle of the battle, and the companions are getting killed one after the other. Some of the members of Ahlul Bayt have been already martyred. Ali Akbar is already martyred. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam is losing his army and companions more and more. Painfully, the Imam cries, "Hal min nasirin yansuruni? Hal min dabbin yadhubu an harami Rasulullah? Is there still anyone to come to my help, to help my cause?" Sayyid Zainab is in her tent and she's hearing the painful cry of the brother. She could not stand it anymore. She goes to her sons, Aoun and Abdullah. Both of them are young. Like any mother, she also longed and she wished to see them in their bridal, in what do you call it, in their as grooms, getting married, moving on with their lives, having a normal, happy life. She can see now that she's going to sacrifice and give both of them for the sake of God. Because tonight I'm talking about these two young men, you have good examples really to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor and respect of Aun and Muhammad for your needs. As I mentioned about your marriage also. All right? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bihaqq Aun, bihaqq Muhammad, the sons of Sayyid Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bihaqq, because of the broken heart of Sayyid Zainab, this mother of Shaheed, this sister of Shaheed. And Shuhada. Sayyid Zainab goes to her sons and says, sons, my dear Aun, my dear Muhammad, this is the time. Remember what your dad was talking about. Your uncle is calling for help. And she helped them to put the armor on, shield and unshield their sword, getting ready. And she escorted both of them while she is in tears, like any mother, because she knows what's going to happen to them soon. She escorted her sons and they jumped on their horses, go to the battlefield. First, they have to seek permission of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. They go to their uncle. Uncle, my dear Khal, this is me, Aun. This is me, Muhammad. We are here for you. Please spare us. Let us sacrifice our lives for you. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, like any other uncle who loves his nephews, he looks around and he says that, my dear Aun, my dear Muhammad, your father is not around. Perhaps he wouldn't like you to fight. Stay with your mother. They said, Yabna Rasulullah, Sayyidi wa Mawlai. Wallah, when we were in Medina, our father insisted that we sacrifice our lives for you. Please don't deprive us of this opportunity and this blessing. Imam Hussein alayhi salam prays for them and they go to the battle. One after the other, both Aun and Muhammad were martyred. The beauty of this tragedy is from here, the following. Any of the martyrs from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, especially Ali Akbar, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam brings the bodies of the martyrs back, Sayyid Zainab salamullah alayhi, she goes and she receives the martyr, consoling the brother. Except, subhanAllah, exceptionally, surprisingly, now you think that now this mother, when her sons are martyred, she will be running forward to receive her sons, wailing and crying. But nobody heard anything. No voice of Zainab is heard now. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam is bringing the bodies of Aun and Muhammad, where is Zainab to receive her sons? Zainab remains inside the tent, holding her knees, very maybe quietly, she's crying. Why? This is what we call it in Irfan, Haya ul Karam. Because she doesn't want to look at the eyes, the face of her brother, lest the brother feels uncomfortable and embarrassed that, look, what happened to your sons because of me and because of my causes. She stays inside the tent, but she has under the breath, she's talking, she's reminding herself, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرُ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّوا. You never reach the piety and the righteousness until you give for the sake of God all what you love. عَلَى لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْغَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أيام قلب ينقلبون. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Be conscious of your needs. The quick reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah Jalallahu Farajahu Sharif. The quick recovery of the patients. The quick reappearance of Imam al-Hujjah. Amen. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أمن يجيب المضطر إذا دعاه ويكشف السوء. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءَ بِجَاهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَبِحُرْمَةِ الْفَاتِحَةِ مَعَ الصَّلَوَاتِ